something for the Lord, good, nice, build the best. And we tried that over there after we got started. But I said, cutting up some, I said, I don't know how I'll fit over there. Some places, you know, you wonder how you're going to fit. But I really don't meet any strangers, and I think that's the way the Lord intended for it to be. And I appreciate the spirit and attitude of your pastor and the people. One thing about it, God made us all out of the same dust of the earth. And so it's wonderful to know Him, wonderful to be saved, wonderful to know that there's a heaven. And buddy, I tell you, if you're lost tonight, you need to shun hell and let God do something for you. Let God save your soul and get ready for heaven. That evangelist, that preacher friend of mine, we were raised up together and a few years back in the 70s. And remember all them hippies running around? That's what we were. We call ourselves, if there's any such thing as hippies. And we run together and ain't out of the same tomato patch. Sometimes we didn't have a tomato to eat. And I share my testimony. We lived in ditches and in fields and patches. And you wore your clothes until they got stiff. And they stood attention when you pulled them off and all that stuff. But I tell you what, I tell you, I'm ashamed of the old life. And since I've been saved for 36 years, the Lord, just a few minutes with Him means more to me than all 25 years I was lost. And so it's just wonderful to know to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. He's at home. Left out here this morning about 5 o'clock before the body got cold. He was standing in the streets of glory, and that's a wonderful thing. So if you're not ready, you might ought to get ready to meet God. Well, if you will, open your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Now, don't get scared. I'm not going to preach on tithing. I want to read one verse for a text verse. If you'll stand with me, I don't know whether you're used to that, but if you will, don't have to, but if you will, you can. And open that old King James Bible up. I'm glad I run up on your pastor, and I'm glad he's a Bible believer. There's not but one, as far as I'm concerned, book that is the Word of God, and that's that old King James Bible. And I appreciate running up on men like him. There's a whole lot of out there not like that. But I appreciate that. Book of Malachi, chapter number 3. And verse number 6 for our text verse. Here's what he said. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity you've given us. I appreciate, Heavenly Father, another opportunity to stand and preach the Word of God. Lord, you know me, I just want to be used. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd touch us. Pray you'd help us tonight. Pray, God, you'd give us something. And these thoughts that you've laid upon our hearts, from this verse of Scriptures and other Scriptures in the Word of God, I pray that you'd take them. Lord, you'd use them. It'd benefit the people. It'd stir our hearts. Lord, truly we need revival tonight. Revival. In our Baptist churches, I pray, oh God, that you might somehow see fit to send revival. I know we can have personal revival. But then, God, I find that there's people revival. The psalmist said, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And so, Lord, we're really looking for a people revival. God, it's good to rejoice on personal grounds, but God, it's good to be able to see others rejoicing. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us tonight just to give them what you've laid upon our hearts and you'd use it for the glory of God and benefit of the people. Have your way, touch the heart of that one that might be in their service tonight without God. He or she might give their heart to Jesus tonight. Lord, be with Sister Deed and the family and help us as we try to, Lord, look ahead for these next 2 days, these services that's coming up. I pray, God, you'd use this as a voice to speak to others, even family members. I just believe, God, you use death as a voice to speak, try to get people's attention. So, God, use it, and Lord, pave the way for that meeting, those services, and God, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated after reading the Word of God. I want to look at this verse. I've looked at it many times. I preached a number of different messages out of here. We say different messages, you know, you just title them different, and you throw some more verses in there. You don't have a new book. You have the old book. The old King James Bible, Old and New Testament. One book. Two Testaments in one book. Just like the Godhead, there's three persons in the Godhead, but one God. And so I appreciate this book tonight. Now, if I get a little loud, that's just my mannerism in preaching. I'm not trying to preach over anybody else. That's just me. And you know, I see fellas, I've done it all these years. But I do get loud sometimes. Don't let it scare you. I won't bite you. But anyhow, we're here. And again, in this verse of Scripture, where the Scripture says in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3 and verse number 6, where God said, I am the Lord. I don't stop there and say this about that. He's the only one that can say that. I am the Lord. Now, I tell you, our president can't say that. You see, he's not my president. Somebody voted me in. I mean, somebody did, and he can't say that. Our governors can't say that. Preachers can't say that. But here God said, I am the Lord. He is the only one that can say that. And then he said, I change not. I don't say he's the only one that can say that. You change, and I change. And every once in a while we meet folk, you know, and we live in a changing world. I tell you, we're changing at a fast pace. And I don't think for the better, but for the worse. But anyhow, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. And he's the only one that can say that, as far as I know. He is God. Jesus was God, manifested in the flesh. He was deity. Sure he was. And so here he says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I tell you what tonight, if it was not for the mercy of God, every one of us in this building would be consumed. Aren't you glad for God's mercy tonight? God's mercy, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord that endureth forever and ever. Thank God for the arm of mercy and the hand of mercy that reached out to us when we was lost and doomed for a devil's hell. God gave justice, we'd been in hell, but God had mercy and saved some old rotten hell-bound sinners. That's a wonderful thing tonight. I appreciate the fact that God was looking for me. Before I ever went looking for Him, God was looking for me. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's God that does the seeking. It's Him that does the saving. It's Him that does the conviction. Thank God tonight for who He is. He's the Lord. He ain't gonna change. And it was not for the mercy of the Lord. We'd be consumed tonight and in a devil's hell. But I'm glad for God's mercy tonight. Saved, ready for heaven. Thank God, in the ministry, doing, striving to do the will of God and to please Him. I rejoice tonight because my name is written down in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. We're rejoicing on everything else, but that's not the grounds to rejoice. Jesus told those disciples, if you remember, fellas, you're rejoicing over the wrong reason. Those spirits might be subject unto you, but you are to rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Wonderful thing. I might not be known at the White House, but I'm known in my Father's house. I tell you one thing, I'd bypass the White House and the governor's house and all these other houses and enter into my Father's house and talk to Him, and God can touch people back down here on earth. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that the God of all creations is our God tonight. And because of Calvary, He said, we can say our Father which art in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. That's not what I want to preach about. But I do want to use this thought tonight. There are some things that God don't change His mind about. There's some things that God don't change. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, somebody said He never changed it, but He has changed His mind. I tell you, He would have consumed a whole lot more that you find recorded in the Old Testament had not He repented, changed His mind, had a change about it. God would have put a whole lot more out of their misery and out of this world. But thank God He had mercy. Mercy is what He had. And He changed His mind because of circumstances or something that maybe they had done. Maybe repentance or something that way. But I'm telling you, there's some things God's not going to change His mind about. First thing I want to meet tonight, God's not going to change His mind about the Scriptures. He's just not going to change His mind. Thank God this Bible, this old Word of God's forever settled in heaven. Are you with me on it? God's not going to change His mind about the book, the Word of God, the Scriptures in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You'll find that Paul penned down these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. When he used that word Scripture, he's talking about both Old and New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Boy, I like that. All Scriptures. Somebody says, God going to change His mind about that? No, He's not going to change His mind about that. God inspired His Word. All Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Somebody said, preacher, we don't need doctrine. We just need to preach love, love, love. I want you to know there's two sides of God. There's that loving side and there's that judgment side. I'm telling you tonight that this Bible, this Word of God, will work when nothing else works. You know why it works? God breathed life into it. God inspired the book and it's proper for doctrine. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul penned down. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, in verse 17, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I don't know about you, but I know our house can be filled with furniture. We've got a book, got all the furniture we need for our house. A preacher, every man of God, we can be mature. We can be mature. We can be fully grown. We can have understanding. We can increase our knowledge. We can have food to set on the spiritual table and not have to kick it all out for God's people when they come together. Now, I'm dispossessional, but I'm not no hyper-dispossessional. I want to tell you something. When I go to the table, I like a full meal. Now, I know we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. I know that. I know all of them scriptures. I know it has to be rightly divided. But I want you to know something tonight. I'm glad I know that God has a full meal for His people. We don't have to leave the house of God hungry. We don't have to starve ourselves when we get home. We can open that old King James Bible and we can eat and feast and grow and mature and gain knowledge spiritually. I tell you from the Word of God, He is not going to change His mind about that book. All Scripture. Every bit of it. Somebody says, you believe it's all inspired? I believe every jot, every tittle's inspired. I might not know what y'all mean, but I believe every one of them's inspired. Every one of them's inspired. That Word of God will work when nothing else will work. Now, there's many methods to get the gospel out. We've got tracts. I tell you, men's written books, and you go door to door. And that's what we're supposed to do. And I'm for every method that we can use to get the gospel out, preacher. I mean, I've used napkins and left the scripture on them on the table, been out to eat, just wrote down a scripture on them, didn't have any tracts with me, and left the scripture on there trying to convince somebody that they need to be saved by the grace of God. But I tell you, the best way to get the gospel out is by preaching the Word of God. Ain't you glad that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe? Thank God for old-fashioned hellfire brimstone. God sent men. I tell you that to stand up firm on that old King James Bible and know that God has breathed some life into it and look people eyeball to eyeball and tell them the truth and tell them there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And the only mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus, and He is the door, and you go through the door, leave hell and enter right in. That's a wonderful thing. We're using everything but the book. We're trying everything. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we try everything. Now listen, there ain't nothing wrong with programs to get God in your programs. But I know some churches that's programmed God plumb out and they're dying spiritually. Personality. Somebody said, get that preacher. Brother Carl ain't got too good a personality. I thought I had a pretty good one since God saved me. And we're working on programs and personalities and, you know, everything else. But I tell you what's going to work. Our church over yonder is built on the Word of God. And I tell you, without the Word of God, sinners won't be saved and saints of God won't grow. It is, I tell you, God, see it for us to use, and it will help us in this day. I'm from the old school. Lester Roloff, one of my heroes. Dr. Percy Ray down Camp Zion, one of my heroes. B.R. Lack, an old Methodist preacher, one of my heroes. I mean these men, these old men that stood firm on the book. And I tell you, wouldn't have no other book because they knew the book. This book was God's Word. I tell you, it helps people. God's not going to change His mind. And somebody said, don't you know there's some others? Not as far as I'm concerned. And somebody said, you don't understand. I'm glad I don't understand it much better. I'm just convinced that this is the book and this is the Word of God, and God's not going to change His mind about His Word. He's not going to do it. And so He ain't going to change His mind about Scripture. We might as well take it home with us. Open it up. Read it. I got saved. I got saved one night, and I still had that old long hair and all that stuff. And man, I tell you, I got saved on the bank of Real Foot Lake. They had a crusade meeting out there, and I got saved. And old Southern Baptist preacher still held on that old King James Bible was preaching that night. And man, he preached hell hot, heaven sweet. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God began to convict me and hang me out over hell with Holy Ghost conviction. And I saw myself lost for the first time after my mother praying for a number of years. And I tell you, God just hung me out over there, over hell that first night. Went in that building preacher, and there was some 700 some odd people in that building, and that first night I had to get way in the back. No, it wasn't. I had to get way in front. Got it backwards. On the second row, chairs lined up. And then I was right up there. And that old preacher preached and gave an invitation, and boy, God hung me out over here. My mother's pastor's gone to be with the Lord now. Pastor Baptist Church here at Wimberg Baptist Church. Brother Ernest Mayo loved souls, loved sinners, and was a soul winner. Man, he was there that night. I was on that second row of chairs there, right up front, couldn't get back there in the back. You know how we are, we try to get in the back, couldn't find no place. And man, I got under conviction. God hung me out over hell. And they give an invitation, that old preacher get up and preach, and he'd point his finger, seemed like that finger would curve over at me. Now, he'd even turn his back to walk away, and his back seemed like he had eyes in the back of his head. Seemed like he was looking at me. God had me under conviction. And that old pastor of my mother's was standing up there, and I was on that second row of chairs and under conviction. And boy, I was lost, and I had that piece of paper. They had those songs on, and they was singing, and I looked up like this. I wasn't singing. I was lost, and I was looking up like this, and I saw that old pastor, and tears started coming out of his eyes, and I saw him moving my way, and I said to myself, self, he's coming to you. And I tell you, he did come to me. He put his arms around me. He didn't offend me, preacher. That old man of God put his arm around me. He said, Carl, he said, your mama goes to our church and your two sisters. And he said, I know God's dealing with your heart. He said, I know you're lost. He said, won't you come let God save you? Now, if you say no, I'll go back and get in my place. But I know God's dealing with you. And I looked up at him. I said to old brother Ernest Bell, I said, preacher, I'm just not ready tonight. And I don't know how I got off on my testimony. That's all right, isn't it? Run a rabbit too. I'll get back on that track in a minute. And I went home that night. I worked on a farm, drove a tractor. Now, you probably never drove a tractor, but I drove a tractor. And I was working on the farm. But I went home that night, preacher, and I didn't sleep a wink. Son, you're talking about rolling in flames of hell, the fires of hell, and God speaking to my heart. All night long, got up about daybreak, got on that old tractor, climbed on it. My wife got up and said, you don't want any breakfast? I said, I'm sick, don't need none. Went to the field, didn't eat no breakfast. And got on that old tractor, and I was disking ground. God be my witness, I know it wasn't. But I looked back at that disc and that ground turning over, and I could see the flames of hell coming up out of that ground. Now, they wasn't coming up, but boy, to me, they were coming up. I worked till dinner, went home. My wife had dinner fixed. I said, Mama, I just don't want no date. I'm sick. Couldn't eat no lunch. I come in. Before I went back to work at lunch, I told my wife, Sheila, I said, I tell you what you do. I said, you get me some clothes out tonight. I said, we're going back at you on that meeting. And, of course, you know, God, I knew there's a God in heaven. When I was lost, I knew there was. And I said, if whatever that was deals with me tonight, like he dealt with me last night and today, I'm going to do something about it. I knew what to do. And she said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. And, boy, she was thrilled. She didn't know the Lord at that time because she got saved night after I did. But she was... She was serious, just thrilled to death. I got my clothes on. I come in from work and took a bath. We went down to that crusade meeting, Brother Avery. And that night it was full, but I got way in the back. Wasn't nothing up here. God put me way in the back. That old preacher got up there and he preached again. He pointed that finger and it found me back there. He turned his back and those eyes, they found me back there. Whatever he preached, it felt me back there. That word of God was cutting. I tell you, that seed was sowed. The Holy Ghost came together with that seed, and he brought about conviction. Give an invitation. My wife was sitting like here, and I was sitting over here. That place was full. I didn't pay any mind them people. We were standing up, and I said, just let me out of here. And I stepped out of that aisle. I had to walk way down. But I tell you, I won't share all my testimony. Something happened before I got down there. Well, the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That heart cry is what makes the difference. And I tell you, I went down there that night, preacher. I didn't know my mama was there that had prayed me for years and years, that little gray-headed mama of mine. And she was down there. She called me, saw me coming. I didn't go to those fellows up there, Brother Mayo. I went and grabbed my mama. And I said to my mama, I said, it's over with now, mama. I said, I'm getting saved tonight. And here's the words I said. I said, it won't be like them deacons down there at your church. I always told her when I was getting in, I didn't mean nothing bad about that. I didn't know. But I knew some of them. And I said, it won't be like them. And I told her, I said, if I ever get saved, Mama, I'm going to get in. Boy, I grabbed my mama. Mama was one of the most shouting Baptists. She went to dancing around me. And we danced around for a while, and I cried. I went to that altar and prayed, and that fellow's praying me got up, and I just kept praying. Preach, I went out of that building that night. And again, I ain't telling you about some experience. I'm telling you about a born-again experience I had with God. I mean, for sure, for sure. When I went out that night, it was partly cloudy. There was a quarter moon. I could breathe better. You know what I'm talking about? Condemnation had been lifted. I could breathe better. I tell you, the air, it just It was just out of Rome where God had just come in. And I looked up at that moon, looked like it tipped his hat at me. That old moon said to me, it seemed like it did, it's a good night, isn't it? And I said, boy, it sure is. Looked like those clouds that joined hands and began to clap and they began to rejoice. And I didn't know the scriptures was in the Bible where it says there's rejoicing going on in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. And even those one of those clouds, but it looked like that they were rejoicing. And I left out of there saved and gloriously born again by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, it worked for me. And I went home. On the way home, I asked my wife, I said, Sheila, is there a Bible at the house? Never read before. She said, you know, it seemed like I saw a little old black Bible somewhere. It's faded, it's torn. And I said, well, when we get home, could you find it for me? Had that old long hair. Oh, hippie, God don't pass them up. He came to where I was. He saved an old hippie that night. Long hair, tattoo and all. And I went home. She found that old Bible. I sat up all night by a little chair reading that Bible. All night. Had to work the next day. I got down before that chair. Didn't even know what prayer was, but I tried to talk to God like I'm talking to you tonight. I found out that's the best way. He likes it that way. But it seemed funny. I just gotten saved. Boy, I wanted the milk of God's Word. I opened it up and I'd read a while and I'd pray. And I don't know where you've ever been there, preacher. And you know, a lot of us been there when we first got in. Son, we stand on up on the pew to testify, whether the preacher let us testify or not. I did. I tell you, every night after I got saved, we went to church. That preacher didn't let me testify. Get up on the pew and say, hey, preacher, I ain't testified tonight. And I was talking to God down there. And God got so real, that old long hair began to blow. I was scared to look up, preacher. I don't know where you ever been there or not, but I was scared I'd see him. I'm not telling you about something far out. I know he wasn't there in person. But I tell you, if we ever get back to the old path, I've heard those old men of God talk about him. I just got saved. God picked me up. And now you see him tonight. Here I am. I've been preaching, been pastoring. All my ministry been preaching. I've seen them saved all across the country. I was in a meeting over Campbell, Missouri a few years ago. My old preacher over there, Brother Clifford Rice Church, and I got up preaching. I got down that altar while I was preaching. I couldn't even get down. I can't ever stand behind that pulpit. That don't bother you, does it? And I couldn't even get down to preach. And I just kept a preaching. They got to come in. Some 70 come down at night. I'd hear them say, when I got saved that night, that won't last long. Yeah. Some of them that knew me back there, that won't last long. Said he won't be out there long. Said, God can't do nothing with that, but I'm here to tell you, thank God, because of that word of God. That's where it started at. I tell you, an old-fashioned preacher got up and preached that inspired word of God, that seed of God, and God, the Holy Ghost, planted in my heart and brought about birth pains of the new birth. And thank God, that second night, God saved my soul and called me to preach. I'm saying that's where it started. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is a wonderful God. And don't ever meddle with his book, you'll get in trouble. He's not going to change his mind about his word, the scriptures. I tell you something else, he ain't going to change his mind about separation. I know your pastor's probably been preaching about it. But he ain't going to change his mind about separation. We must understand tonight that God sanctified us. In other words, took us out of the world and placed us, separated us from the world into the body of Christ. And there's that daily sanctification. You have to play a part in that. And one day we will be completely sanctified. We'll say goodbye to this old sinful world. But I tell you what we need more than anything is for Baptists, old-fashioned Baptists, to shun sin and evil and pull up close to the Lord, our Savior, and be separated. Oh, we're in the world, but we don't have to do and live and look and smell like this world. I tell you, God's not going to change His mind about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And He said in verse 18, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Separation. God's not going to change His mind about us being separated from the world. How in the world am I going to win my friends? Hey, by the way, God started on the inside. And it wasn't long till that God worked out on the outside. All I ever owned was a pair of bell-bottom britches. And they were dirty and filthy before I got saved. And thank God I can go out and eat a steak about right now if I want to. I didn't have anything. I got saved. That week, I went after those other hippie buddies of mine. God sent me to the barber. I got a haircut. Preacher didn't send me. Preacher didn't throw stones at me. I found it in the scriptures and I got a haircut. Sent me to the barber. Got me some more clothes. I went to that little old town, Risley. Here come three of them down the street. I was headed toward them. My nickname was Country Joe. Before I got to them, here's what they said. "Is that Country Joe coming in?" They said, "It looked like him, but his hair is gone." Said he's dressed different. When they saw that it was me, they crossed the street. So what'd you do? I zigzag across the street too. Well, when I got over there, they crossed the street again. What'd you do? I crossed the street again. I want them to know there's a better life. There was a better life for them. And they needed what I had received that night. Salvation. And I'm telling you, I've seen them. I'd go out there under that graveyard at Mady, and there's their tombstones. Some of them died of overdose. Some of them got killed in wrecks. Young men. You young people, give your heart to the Lord and your life to God while you're young and you're tender and you got a good mind. I have burnt brain cells up with drugs. And I'm ashamed of it. That will never reproduce. You see, I might have been a preacher like your pastor. Some of you might be another Billy Sunday. A Moody. A Spurgeon. While you're young, remember thy Creator. And stay with God. Let that Bible transform your life. Let God, the Holy Ghost, take you and use you. Do something for the Lord. What would the God I hadn't done none of that stuff? Don't go down that path. But I tell you, God began to separate me from some things and clothe me with some things. And I'm so glad that He did. I didn't have a home. Had a little old baby girl. Mistreated her and my wife, or mistreating my wife, and I would have been mistreating her. Taking everything ever come in, preacher, and doing away with it. I don't have got off on testifying. That's all right if I testify a bit. But God's been so good to me. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know what He's talking about? He's talking about that separated man. He said He blessed that man. And I tell you tonight, God's blessed me. I'm one of the highest paying pastors over there. One of the biggest churches over there. I'm not boasting in it, but I tell you tonight, God put some pretty good clothes on me. I've got a little house over there, a comfortable place to live is paid for. Driving in a good vehicle. Didn't even have a bicycle before I got saved. God's been good to me. And so we're talking about how the Lord's not going to change His mind about the Scriptures and separation. But I tell you something else, you could just go on and on. God's not going to change His mind about the Savior. He's just not going to change His mind about the Savior. Any sinner gets saved, you know what he's got to have? He's got to have a Savior. The Lord will save the sinner. He's our Savior. God's not going to change His mind about sin. I tell you, black is black, white is white, and the year we're living in is still black and white, and yalla is yalla, and sin is sin, and right is right, and wrong is wrong. And God hates sin and evil. We're to shun the evil and cling to the good. Well, I'm glad for it. Let me give you this before I close. Look in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Here's one that God's not going to change His mind about. And that's His second coming. He just ain't going to change His mind about it. By the way, I'm looking for Him. I used to live before a little railroad track behind my house on 78 Highway. And I tell you, I'm so ready to go home. I get home sick. You know, you get so tired sometimes down here in this old world and you're around all of this stuff and all of that. And really, I'm ready to go home. But I'm going to tell you, God's not going to change His mind. Listen to this statement. Ready or not, He is a-coming. It'd pay you to be ready when the Lord comes because He is a-coming. And in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1, He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Did you know tonight that the Lord is coming again? And son, when he starts, He's not going to tarry His coming. You, other words, you ain't going to have time to get in. You better get in now. He's a coming quick when He comes. I'm a looking for Him. That old train used to come down that railroad track I was telling you about. 2 o'clock in the morning, shake that little old block house I lived in. I'd jump up and run out, and my wife tell you the same thing. And I'd look up and say, Lord, is that you coming? Is that you coming? Jesus is coming again. You say, where is His promise? In the book. And if you're saved, it's in you. The Lord's promise of His coming is in the book and it's in us. Hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, whether you're ready or not, our Lord is coming. Now for the church, the saints of God, He's coming in a cloud. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody asked me here a while back, preacher, you reckon we'll ever have revival? I said, buddy, we'll have one day out yonder in the graveyard. Yeah, we will one day out there in the graveyard. We'll have revival, such a revival that those bodies of those saints will come up out of the ground. Ground level. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Thank God they're not going to get ahead of us. We ain't going to get ahead of them. And they're coming up to ground level and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air in a cloud. And He said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm looking for that coming tonight. The rapture. of the church, the catching out of the saints of God. I'm looking for the Lord to come. John chapter 14, verse number 1 through 6, Jesus said he fig depart from his disciples, knew their heart, knew that there were trouble, and he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Came after my friend, my buddy, through the door of death. But he come got him. You say, why? Well, he made him a promise. Let him scoff like they did in the days. Bible days. Let them laugh. Let them mock. Mock the Lord. You stay with the Lord and keep looking up. I'm a cloud watcher. My wife, sometimes it'll come up a little storm. If it's cloudy, I'm out there looking. Lightning flash. She said, you're going to get struck by lightning? I said, clouds amaze me. You ever watch a cloud? It takes on different forms. I got a message I preach out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 14. The crowd and the clouds. Sometimes those clouds look like men, women, faces. Yeah, are you getting where I'm going? One day, buddy, the Lord's going to descend from heaven in cloud. But the crowd's going to be with him. Yeah. Those eyes will be. Oh, Brother Rice, my preacher, little beady eyes, bald headed. Get mad wrinkled right up in here. He had a Christian school too. I seen him get upset and wrinkled right up in here. I seen him get upset at me when he took me under his wings and he said, boy, I'm having a good hard time. You're a hard case. Oh, he did have mercy. He was compassionate. Little beady eyes. Get to preaching and they get way big like you. I preach that message about the crowd in the cloud and get out there and I watch them clouds and I almost see them beady eyes looking through those clouds. I love to watch clouds. You say, what are you looking at those clouds for? I'm looking for the Lord to come in those clouds with all of those that's ahead of us that's believed and trusted in Him. God's not going to change His mind. Somebody said, you believe in that? That's a bunch of heresy. Oh, no, that's Bible truth. That's a promise God made to every child of God in this building. He's coming back for us. Ain't you glad, thank God, He ain't going to send an apostle or a prophet? He ain't even going to send Father Abraham. The Lord Himself. Going to descend from heaven? Somebody said, ought to be in shouting our Baptist church with a shout. Have you thought about that? The Lord Himself's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Something's causing him to be happy. God's probably happy all the time. I don't know when He looks down here at me and messes I make sometimes. Shout. We'll get tuned up a little bit while we're down here. You ever read Revelation 19? I can't sing much. It amazes me. I watch y'all do that, and sometimes I'll try to do it. It amazes me. These song leaders and how they sing and beautiful voices that these ladies and men and young people's got. But that hallelujah choir is coming. I'm going to be in it. We'll be able to sing the song that the angels cannot sing. So they tell us. Ain't you glad you're saved? Now, I'm not trying to get you to swing by the chandelier, but I get excited sometimes. I mean, who would want a hippie like me 36 years back? Others would kick me off. I had money, I had friends. My money's gone, didn't have no friends. I woke up in ditches many times. Didn't have a way home. Didn't even know who I was sometimes. I'm ashamed of that. Do you know what God took? He took a beat up, no good, sinful, ungodly hippie. Took him in. Cleaned him up. Saved him. Called him to preach. I don't even know why I'm here. I told Brother Danny, I said, it don't mean shit of you. We used the same everything, needles and everything. Preacher, God's had mercy toward me. He took me in. Took me just like I was. He didn't say, now, you don't have no money yet when you make it pretty good down here and got a bank account. Your clothes ain't too good, and when you get you a nice suit of clothes, and your mind is gone when you can maybe go off somewhere and get some help and get a clear mind. No, he came to me that night. That's why I get excited. That's why my heart's stirred. That's why I know him. I tell you what he'll do. He'll talk to me before morning. He'll wake me up. He won't talk to me. And I won't talk to him. Sometimes I sit up all night. This preacher does too. If he don't, he sits up some nights. Some hours a night. You know what he's doing? Sheep passing by. I'm a pastor, I know. Sheep's passing by. Somebody in church got needs. Some family that he loves. Some couple. Some individual. And here they go, the Lord say, there he is. You need to pray for them. Here they are. You need to pray for them. And before you know it, night's gone. You've been up all night. But I tell you what's going to solve our problems. By the way, the economy's not bad in heaven. It might not be as bad down here as we think, because if you go to these eating places right here, one of them be full. Yeah. Go to Walmart and it's full. Go to where they sell hunting stuff and fishing tackle and it's full. It might not be as bad as we think down here. But now we come give to the Lord's work, you know, and the Lord's, what's going on for God? We won't complain. That old preacher, all he's after is the money. God's good, isn't he? Look like you've done well. Look like you're givers. But I tell you, if I didn't know the Lord tonight, I'd get a hold of this book. Hey, something about that book. I heard something in my house right after I got saved. And I thought somebody was breaking in. I jumped up. I got me a little old club I had under my bed. And I looked my house over and couldn't find nothing. And I looked over where I kept the Bible. And it was still there. But this book is alive. It didn't take legs, went looking around, but it's alive. That preacher, I ain't got time. I ain't going to tell the story about that. Taking his hat and pitching it over that little New Testament on the street. Couldn't get nobody's attention. And he pitched that hat over that little New Testament Bible. And he went to backing up and pointing his finger and saying, it's alive, it's alive. And people started gathering around. I said, what's wrong with that preacher? What are you talking about? What's alive? And he pulled that hat off. He said, the Word of God's alive. It searches out some things. It's alive. It's inspired of God. This seed will bring about the new birth in the heart of the sinner. And then to be separated. Oh, I'm happy tonight. I don't have to wake up with a big headache. A big head and a big headache. Sick. Get sick sometimes, but it's not because of what I used to do. Now, I failed God miserably, the preacher. I'm not talking about me and my goodness. But I'm so glad God delivered me out of that junk that I was in. Boy, he's helped me. I've got a daughter. I've got a son. I've got four grandkids and another one on the way. And I've got an adopted daughter. We just took her, gave her a name. She's a little bit darker than we are. I told our church, I said, if you got any problems with this, I said, you better tell me now. If she was polka dotted or strappy, it wouldn't be no difference. Lady's going to give her up for adoption. My wife wanted that little baby girl. 3 days old, preacher, we went to the hospital and got her. That little mother, drug-ridden, she said, I'm not fit to raise this kid. I'm glad, preacher, y'all come and got her. Handed the steward, we got out of the hospital 3 days old. She's 13 now. And once while we think, what would happen if we hadn't took her? She's wearing our name. I said, we're going to do this right. We're going to get to loving this kid, and then they come back down here and want her back. Went to court. That little girl don't know who her daddy is. She hadn't saw her mama in years. Saw her one time. She sits in her mama's lap. That wife of mine, she put her arm around her. She'll say, Mama, what's going to happen if something happened to you, Daddy? We've sat and we've talked, and we've asked ourselves a question. What would have happened to her if they'd sent her to Memphis at adoption agent? Where would she be? Now she's got a good Christian home. She's been fed. She's been clothed. She's got it made. God's been good to us. Let me share this with you, not close. Now, all we've been trying to do is just exalt the Lord through preaching. You got to always end with Him, and most time you'll start with Him. It may not even sound like it. Start with Him. I got another little granddaughter on the way, and my daughter's granddaughter, small, and I always said to her, you're my favorite granddaughter. Oh, yeah, Papa, I'm the only one. My favorite granddaughter. Well, my boy's wife going to have a baby, and they got a little boy, and it's going to be a little girl. And so I said, now, baby, I said, try to explain to her, I said, you're still my favorite now. She got ahead of me, and I said, there's nothing on the way. She said, oh, wait a minute, Papa. She said, before you say anything else, I'm number one. Yeah. She didn't use the word favorite. She said, I want you to know I'll always be number one.
Yeah,
little bit thing. And I said, all right, babe, but you both be loved the same. I said that to say this, why don't we make the Lord number one? Put Him at the top of the list. Let Him be God in our life. Friends and family ties, if you're not careful, I drag you away from this old inspired Bible. God's inspired word will get you off on something else if you're not careful. Love your family. Help. Get them to God if you can, where God can save them. But don't let family ties get so close that it drag you out of a good Bible-believing church away from a good preacher and a book that's been inspired and a separated life that God intended for us to live. And you keep in mind, bud, you remember what this old country preacher said. The Lord's a coming. And it could come before I get back. I'd be all right back home. I'm looking for it. The promise is in the book and it's in us. I have never met nobody like Him. He is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Stay with Him. Come on, preacher.
stand to our feet. I want to tell you what God's put on my heart tonight. But I was thinking about Brother Sutherland and Pastor Sutherland, and I thought, you know, he's got a problem. And I tell you what his problem is. He's never gotten over that salvation experience. Some of us, we get over it. Some of us wasn't hippies and didn't do drugs. And some of us were just a little bit better and didn't have quite as much sin to be forgiven for. And some of us take a little bit of credit.